Turn with me to 1 Peter 1 again. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, verses 13 through 21. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Just to get us caught up from where we were, what we went over in the previous weeks, this epistle starts out letting us know that this is to all sojourners in this world. Then Peter gets into the source for all these things. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Then it starts into how God personally gets us involved in this, if you will, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Spirit sets us apart so that we can hear His gospel, and to those who are His elect, so that we believe His gospel. This He does, as we're told, by faith. Joe just was telling us this, but given those He elected, those the Son died for, and those the Spirit has set apart, this faith enabling us to believe the gospel gives us hope to that specific end where we will be with our salvation, Jesus Christ. This is constantly confirmed to us through manifold trials of this faith, causing us to look to Him who is our salvation. In so doing, we are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. These things that we joy in is the same thing the prophets looked into when they looked for that Messiah to come and the glory that should follow. This was revealed to them that this would come. So they knew a lot more than what people give them credit for. But it was no different for them than it is for us. They only knew this by the revelation of God. These things are because of something else. That is the holy, sovereign God coming down to redeem enemies of God, sinners. These things the angels desire to look into because they know nothing of redemption. So now we get into a wherefore because of all of that. Here is what we are instructed to do, if you will. And I want you to keep in mind here, too, when all of this is in the context of what we're going to read today, too. It's all in one context. It always starts with God, and God always carries it through. Through manifold trials and giving of faith. But we're going to look at gird up the loins of your mind, be holy for I am holy, and the precious blood of Christ. Yes, sir. So next we start out in verse 13, which says, gird up. That means tighten the belt. Tighten the belt. What are we tightening up? The loins of our mind. I read that this tightening up comes from where when someone was setting out on a journey, they would take a belt or a rope and gird up at their waist, their clothing. And I'm assuming this to keep everything in together and tight so nothing gets caught on something or to slow them down or to cause them to stumble. That's my presumption is what this was done for, but this was done at the waist. But this is the idea here. Tighten up our mind, our thoughts, and keep them all together and fixated on one thing.
Yes.
Jesus Christ and the redemption he has wrought.
Amen.
We are also told to be sober, which means to watch. And as I said, there's one thing we are told to watch for. That hope for grace to come to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The thoughts are where things start. We do something because we think it first. Sometimes, thankfully, we do not always act on our thoughts, which is the idea being put forth here. This is where we see we need to gird up the loins of our minds. Because there are many thoughts that come into our mind that are not looking toward the hope of grace appearing.
Right. Yeah.
This flesh wants what it wants, and it will not give in. So we have to tighten the belt, so to speak. Colossians 3, verses 4 and 5, we read, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." This we do by girding up the loins of our minds. That's where it starts. We certainly must think about things before we act. We are told to study, to be quiet. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Because oftentimes we will let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. Because we just have something we have to say. But we want our mind to be fixated on Jesus Christ and his return for us. Thinking on that should be a comforting thought. So think upon it. That one who has already come and redeemed us, and in so doing it will comfort us. Philippians 1:27 we read, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." This grace that we hope for is a grace that we already have, but we hope for it to be finalized. So this grace now, by the working of the Holy Spirit, causes us to walk holy. So be ye holy, for I am holy. I don't have this in my notes, but I wanted to say this because this is the way I see this in this scripture. This is talking about our conversation, our way of life. And we're talking, when it says, "Be holy, for I am holy," it's talking about being set apart. God says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate," saith the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. Separate yourself from this world. We're not trying to do anything for the world, but we're separating ourselves from that. And that's what we're talking about. But is Peter telling us now to start keeping the law so that you might be holy? In just these first few verses in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, we have not heard not one mention of the Mosaic Law. Everything we have read up to this point has only spoken of that hope that should come, the end of our salvation. So why would we now get to this and think it has something to do with keeping God's law? It does not mean that. It does not infer that, as some may suggest. Our conduct in this world does make a difference, though.
Sure.
Yes.
It makes a difference of whether or not we have joy unspeakable and full of glory, or that we are pierced through with many sorrows.
Yeah.
If we gird up the loins of our mind, and this will only do by that God-given grace that he has given us now, we are not just waiting on grace, we've already been given this grace. If we are looking for that grace to come, the end of our salvation, what are we told by Paul? I just read verses 4 and 5, but let's turn to Colossians 3 and read verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3.
Yeah.
Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore. Girding up the loins of our mind is to set our affection on things above.
Yes.
Things above is not the hope that we might see Grandma in heaven one day. Things above is where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, because that's what it says.
Amen.
Keeping my mind stayed on Him will cause me to conduct my life in such a manner that it becometh the gospel. We cannot totally do this, otherwise we would not be reminded to do this.
Exactly.
We never reach any kind of plateau, if you will, in this world, as some like to suggest. Why do we need to be told, even today, right now? Because these verses do not say until you are of spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
No, this is to all the sojourners in the world, and not to... And not a one of us is above, nor will we ever be above doing these things until our hope returns. This is our reasonable service, as Walker pointed out in Romans, to conduct ourselves in this world so that it gives praise and honor to Him. Not a walk that says, look at me and how I'm doing. A walk that gives praise to His holy name because of what He has done and what He does. Jesus Christ, by His power, makes us a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. That new creation, this new man, is said to be created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yeah.
What Jesus creates is perfect, and that perfection does not change. If He creates you righteous and holy, then you will remain that way.
Amen.
But our problem is we still have this flesh. So just as we read in Colossians, we must mortify our members and walk, that is, behave ourselves as ones who have been redeemed. You know what this flesh wants? This flesh loves to be under submission to some law. It loves it. It loves it when you give it commandments to keep. Not that this flesh will ever keep the commandments, because it cannot. But it will lie and say that it has. That old heart will deceive us. But we know, we are told that righteousness does not come by the law. The only thing that we will get from the trying to keep the law is death. Because we cannot in this flesh keep that law. Oh, it loves to try to keep God's law, and it will tell us that we are keeping His law. But we are not, and we will never do it because it was never meant for us to have life this way. But this God-given faith is not looking to the law. This faith that we are given always looks to the one who redeemed us, and that is the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ. What are we told in Ephesians 4? Turn with me there, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and I want to read verses 22 through 32. Ephesians 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Excuse me. So, our walk is not a walk which then says, look at me and how well I am doing. It is a walk that says, I am totally and utterly at the mercy of that one who bought me and paid for me.
Yes, sir.
How did he do this? By his precious blood. So next, the precious blood of Christ. It begins in verse 17. If you call on the Father, this can only be done in Christ and his merits, not any merit of your doing. Because the Father judgeth according to every man's works. I don't want to be judged by my works. I want to be found in him, in Jesus Christ, who, because he is the righteousness of God without the law, so then his works are the righteousness of God without the law. Because it was God's work that justified us. It has nothing to do with our works, which is what verse 18 is saying. All we have in this flesh is vain conversation, a vain way of life, an empty behavior. But because of his work in dying on that tree and shedding his blood for those whom he did this for, then they can then have a holy behavior, a set-apart behavior. He did this, it says here, by his blood. What do we read about the blood in Scripture in Leviticus 17, 10, and 11? And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Why is this the case? Because blood, when it comes to God, is for God alone. We know that the law and the prophets testify of Jesus Christ. This is what we see here. That which atones for our sin is that blood of the little lamb, who was and is without spot before God. It was his work that redeemed my soul, and thereby making it sure to give me life in Christ Jesus. My life is based on his life. I have life because he liveth forevermore. My way of life looks to his shed blood, which was given for my sins, and his resurrection, which is my life. It says, he who knew no sin. That means he was without spot and without blemish. He was made sin, the very thing that God hates. For this, he shed his blood for me. Now we are told that his people eat of his body and drink of his blood. We feast on Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. It is his holiness, his righteousness, his sanctification, his redemption that we look to, because that is our hope. Without that we are totally condemned and in this world to be judged by our own works. What a scary thought. We are to have good conversation in this world. Our behavior should be as becometh the gospel. Our way of life should reflect ones who have been shown mercy, ones who have been redeemed by God, by the blood of his precious Son. The faith that we have been given does not now start looking to the law for righteousness, because life cannot be found in the law. There's another place where the righteousness of God is found. That place is Jesus Christ our Lord, who shed his blood to atone for some people's sins. Not all men. but for those he has chosen from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. Those who are chosen by God according to his foreknowledge. Because he gives us these trials to try our faith, we are forced into looking to him through that faith given by God. We begin to learn through his gospel and by his spirit and the guiding of the spirit that we do now mortify our members, having been freed to serve Christ. We do that with our mind, with, you know, I forgot it. Let me go back and read that. Gird up the loins of your mind. That's how we do that. That's how we begin to do that. We will never get over doing this because we have this flesh. This is the reason why we must continually gird up the loins of our mind and have a walk that becometh the gospel. Turn with me, and this is the last place I have you turn, but turn with me to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, and I want to start in verse 15 through 21. Just listen to this. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have for us an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. It says let us therefore, as many as be perfect. I'm not perfect. So does this apply to me? We are not perfect in and of ourselves, but we are perfected in what Jesus Christ did by dying on that tree. And because of that, we are created in righteousness and true holiness in Christ. We are a perfect creation in Christ. We do not sustain ourselves, though. Christ, who is our life, sustains us. He controls all things, and that includes me.
Yes.
Thank God. So all I can do is to encourage you, those who love the Lord, all I can do is do this. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on his throne. Gird up the loins of your mind. God's people relish the day when faith shall be sight, and then we can ever praise him for shedding his blood for our soul, making me righteous and holy in the sight of God. I should and will, by the power of God, conduct myself in that light, to his praise and honor. Amen. Dear Lord God, sovereign, holy Father, thank you for everything that you do for us, dear Lord. We depend on you for everything. We can do nothing of ourselves. Be with those who, dear Lord, are ailing, you know, dear Lord, just comfort them and on the way you only know how, dear Lord, and forgive us of our sins. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.